Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all that came out this morning. I thank you, Father, that you are in total and complete control of every one of our lives. There's not one thing, Father God, that you don't know is going to happen to us. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout this sanctuary this morning. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here in all of its glory. I thank you, Father God, that the ears are open and in tune to what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, I just thank you and I praise you. You are our sufficiency. This first thing that I'm going to talk about here is what God said to me, and then I'm going to, then we'll go on to what God said. So God has been grooming his man for this hour for years, and we're talking about the present, all right? And Satan has been grooming his man for this hour, so... So right now, we are in one of the biggest tug of wars ever in church history. Light against dark. This tug of war is cleaning the swamp in the church also. The fruit is coming forth, you know, in the church, some good to eat and some spoiled. God is revealing who the true men slash women of God are. And that means government, church, anywhere, you know. And this, God just spoke this to me. So I just thought I'd type it up and just reveal it to you that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God doesn't know everything about. He knows everything. And I don't care if you, what you think, God knows everything. Nothing surprises him. You know, like we say, oh, I can't believe they did that. God never says that because he knew you were going to do that, right? So just always remember that. You are never surprising God with anything that you do. All right, God called this a greater works. This is very important this morning. I want you to really listen to what God is saying as you're reading it. Let it go down into your spirit, man. Children, I want you to transfer your thoughts from the things of this world to the heavenly kingdom. I want you to understand that I have everything in my control. As you continue to pray and fast, the miracles will come forth in abundance. As you continue to pray and fast, the miracles are going to come forth in abundance. You will see so many miraculous things that you would never think of, but they will occur right before your very eyes. Now, this is titled Greater Works, all right? Tell me, little ones, when was the last time you saw a real live miracle? When was the last time you saw blinded eyes opened? When was the last time you saw the angelic host? And when was the last time you felt my kiss upon your cheek? God says, children, we have been down every side road, every valley, and every dark highway. He said, we. You never went those places alone. We have fought every evil entity in Hades, and we have come forth victorious. You see that? We have come forth victorious, you and God. Now it is time to move on to the greater works. It is time for all of hell to move over and watch your Father at work in great and glorious ways. Now is a time for greater works. Jesus links the works of his followers with the fact of his return to heaven. We're going to read this in the scripture. In fact, he says his absence is a cause of their greater works. In John 14, starting at verse 1, let not your, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is Jesus speaking to you, his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, otherwise believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This is Jesus speaking to us also. When you go forth, people should see the Godhead in you. They should see the glory of God all over you. And everything you say and do should come directly from the Father. And then you will lead many to Christ. God went on to say, so many in the valley of decision. They cannot decide if I am real. Children, you know I am real. And because you believe, you are hand chosen to go forth doing the greater works. Do you see what God's calling us into a new thing this morning? So many in the valley of decision. They cannot decide if I am real. And don't you hear that out there? People just keep, how do you know he's real? Children, you know I am real, and because you believe, you are hand chosen to go forth doing the greater works. God said, one thing you lack is unity. When unity is completed, there is nothing that can stop you. All right? Now, Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 says, "There was a time when the whole world spoke one language. Everyone used the same words. Then people began to move from the east. They found a plain in the land of Babylon and stayed there to live. Then they said to each other, 'Let's make some bricks of clay and bake them in the fire.' Then they used these bricks as stones, and they used tar as mortar." See what it said? "Then they said to each other," then in verse 4 it says, "Then the people said," there they are saying it together, "'Let's build ourselves a city and a tower that will reach to the sky. Then we will be famous. This will keep us together so that we will not be scattered all over the earth.'" See, they were all in one mind and one accord like they were in Acts. And they spoke to one another, said, "This is what we will do." Everybody was agreeing. You don't find that in the body of Christ any longer. Verse 5 says, "Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. The Lord said, 'These people all speak the same language, and I see that they are joined together to do this work. This is only the beginning of what they can do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want.'" If you will get, body of Christ, if you will get in unity, in one mind, in one accord, and you agree that God wants us to go and do the greater works, we will be able to do that. Not just one or two of us, but the entire body needs to agree together that God is real and there is a greater works that needs to be done. And verse 7 said, "Let's go down." This is God speaking. "Let's go down and confuse their language. Then they will not understand each other." So people stopped building the city, and the Lord scattered them all over the earth. Why did they stop building the city? Because God had everybody speak in a different language, and they couldn't understand, so they couldn't agree. That's what has happened in the body of Christ. We all speak a different language. And I don't mean, you know, but we all speak a different language, and so we can't agree, and so we get nothing accomplished. All right? Verse 9 said, that is a place where the Lord confused the language of the whole world. That is why it is called Babel. And it was from there that the Lord caused the people to spread out to all the other places on earth. Now, let's stop there. Are we going to get in unity? Are we going to get in one mind and one accord? And then if we do, then we can watch, God can send us forth to do the greater works. That's what he's calling it. This is a calling this morning for you to go forth and do greater works. God said, come children, we are not going backwards, never again. This path of greater works is before you, not behind you. It is not to the left or right of you. It is in front of you. I have already opened the heavens over you. Every heavenly weapon is at your disposal. The angels are waiting for your commands. How many of you are calling on the angels to go forth and do the works that needs to be done? The Holy Spirit is standing at alert. Every gift is in operation. And that really just truly got me excited. Every gift that God has given you is in operation. You have no excuse not to go forth to do the greater works. I know we keep talking about the greater works. I said, God, what is the greater works? He said, you're going to see salvations and healings like never the church has ever seen. Multitudes upon multitudes are going to be coming into the house, and healing upon healing is going to start taking place. All right. John 14 in verse 25, Jesus said, I have told you all these things while I am with you, but the helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the Holy Spirit to grow his kingdom. We are not filled with the Holy Spirit just to say, oh, look what I got. We have to take that Holy Spirit anointing and go forth and spread the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel in the spirit, not in the flesh. There's too many speaking the gospel in the flesh, and it's not anointed. God needs anointed ministers to go forth and do the works that needs to be done. You guys who have been in here for years, you're the ones that God has anointed to send forth. There's others too, but I only preach this church, all right? God has been dealing with you about different areas of your lives. He's been taking the world out of you and putting more of his spirit in you. He has been just taking all the garbage away, and you are ready, as far as he's concerned, you are ready now to go be sent forth to do the greater works. Your hands, he's been cleansing your hands and your mouth and your feet. You can't be tainted in any way, because when you go out there and you lay hands on somebody, your hands must be clean if you're going to see the miraculous occur. All right? Aren't you tired of the false prophets? Aren't you tired of the evangelists and the preachers in the pulpits who are preaching one thing and doing the opposite? We need to be doing exactly what God is. This is where unity comes in too. We need to be in unity with the Father. And we need to know the Father's language. And we need to be doing what the Father's calling us forth to do. I would like to know why you still are upset over the things that happened to you, just say, 2 days ago. We are not supposed to be carrying around aught of any kind. Our hearts should be clear and humble at all times. And God has given us authority and power to walk in purity of heart. Now, why aren't you walking there? This is just what God's asking you. Why are you still upset with other people and what they've done to you? Do you understand that when you do that, you hinder what the Holy Spirit needs to do in that person's life? When you keep them in bondage, you won't let go of what they've done to you. They can't move forward in God because that thing in you has them bound. And God is saying this morning, let go of it. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the Holy Spirit to grow his kingdom. So then Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When do you receive power and authority? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Quit trying to go out there and do the works for God without the Holy Spirit power and anointing. And if you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you, you're not going to be going around doing all the dumb things that you've been doing. Because the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. He will teach you, and he will nudge you when you're doing something wrong. But he's also a gentleman, and if you don't want him, he won't stay. The Word of God tells you all this. So what are you doing with the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing him to lead God and direct you? Or are you just going doing your own thing your own way? God's getting you ready this morning to send you out to do the greater works, and you need to answer all these questions to yourself. You need to make sure that you're right in your heart so that when you go out there, you don't mess up somebody else's life. All right, let's just talk about what God's been doing with us. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God's power in action, his active force. Now, Micah was an honest prophet, and he said in Micah 3:8, but the Lord's Spirit has filled me with power, goodness, and strength, so I can tell Jacob about his crimes, and so I can tell Israel about his sins. Micah was saying, God has filled me, and I am pure and innocent, and I can go forth, and I can tell people that their lives need to be cleaned up. All right, and hasn't God been doing that with us? Now, Luke 1:35, the angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High God will cover you. The baby will be holy and will be called the Son of God. God's been trying to get us to walk in the Spirit for years now. He said, Spirit was calling to Spirit, and religion was no more. So if you really want to be his servant, he taught us this for at least 10 years. If you really want to be his servant, then get out of religion and doctrines and get into the Spirit and let the Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. And if you allow the Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you, you won't be saying things you shouldn't be saying. And you won't be doing things you shouldn't be doing, because the Holy Spirit, you've given him permission to lead, guide, and direct you. He will lead, guide, and direct you. Now, we all know there's times the Holy Spirit says to us, no, don't do that. But we in our flesh say, well, I'm going to do it anyhow. We might not say it, but we go ahead and do it anyhow, knowing that the Holy Spirit's already said, don't do that. We aren't going to do that anymore, are we? No. We're going to listen to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us. We're going to learn to keep our mouths zipped. Right? Because believe me, when you open your mouth at the wrong time, you could destroy a soul and not save it. Now, the second thing, God sends out his priest by projecting his energy to any place to accomplish his will. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here too. In Psalm 104:30, but when you send out your life-giving breath, things come alive and the world is like new again. And then Psalm 139:7 says, your spirit is everywhere I go. I cannot escape your presence. It said in Psalm 104:30, but when you send out your life-giving breath, things come alive, and the world is like new again. How many times has God said, can you feel the wind? I'm breathing upon you. Can you feel the wind? That was his life-giving breath that he was breathing upon us so that we could go forth as new creatures in Christ Jesus, doing the things he's called us forth to do. Are you listening? I'm hearing God say, some of you were always listening to a different melody. In other words, you weren't listening to the voice of God, just listening to something else. You can repent. I'll give you time to repent right now. Forgive me, Father, for listening to a different melody, and that I didn't pay full attention to what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. All right? Now, God goes on to say, children, this is the perfect timing for the greater works. Multitudes upon multitudes are ready to receive salvation. This will be the biggest harvest in church history. What did he say? This is the perfect timing for the greater works. As you step out in faith, God says, you will comprehend what I am saying to you. You will no longer draw back, for my glory will propel you forth. It is my ultimate glory that you shall carry as you go forth. See this? No devil in hell will dare come against my very elect. You are my very elect, and you have absolutely nothing to fear. Come on. No one has ever been this way before. This is a new thing that God is doing now. This is the greater works we're stepping into. That no one has ever been this way before. You will encounter things nobody else has ever encountered. And God's been telling us that before. Many books will be written of this time in church history. This is going to be, I'm hearing God say, this is going to be such an exclusive thing that all the world will stand up and pay attention as it goes forth. And you guys that God is calling forth this morning to go and forth and do the greater works, you will be surprised at how the Spirit, Holy Spirit works through you and where he leads you to. And he's saying, some of you have always second-guessed yourselves. Don't even think about guessing yourself at all. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you in the path that he would have you to go. God said the book of Acts has begun all over again, and Joel chapter 2 is being walked out even as I speak. God said, children, rejoice, for the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. My children, this greater works will bring the second coming of my son Jesus. And we know that God told us back, what, a year ago, that we were paving the way for the second coming of his son Jesus. I'm hearing God say, much will transpire starting today and in the days ahead that will not only change the world around you, but will change your life, period. You've been walking in not darkness, but in the dimness of the darkness, and God's going to bring you out into his glorious light, and his light is going to emanate forth from you, and nothing will be able to stop you. And God is telling me to tell you that right now, some of you have had to have determined in your heart that this has been the day you've been waiting for, and you've determined that no devil in hell will be able to stop you ever again. That you will not go backwards in any way, shape, or form, but you will continue to go forward, and you won't be concerned about what people are saying or what people are doing around about you. You'll just know that you have been sent by God, and you have a works to complete for him. Some of you, you're so concerned about your husbands and your wives, and God said you don't have to be concerned about your husband's wife or your children, for he has them in the palms of his hands, and he's taking care of them as you go forth and do the greater works he's called you forth to do. He said the miracles are just going to flow. And once they start, they're not going to stop. And I'm also hearing, God, that the persecution will begin also, because you will be persecuted for the name of Christ. And that persecution could start in your church. It could be in your home. It could be from your best friends. But you have to endure the persecution and just walk on. And he's saying some of you will even lose friends because they'll become jealous of what God is doing through you. And they'll be saying, this cannot be God using you this way. And they'll walk away from you. Let them walk. Let them. They did the very same thing to Jesus, did they not? Let them go. They're not worth the calling that God has upon your life. They're just not. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. What we tell you now is the Lord's own message. Those of us who are still living when the Lord comes again will join him, but not before those who have already died. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the people who have died and were in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive at that time will be gathered up with those who have died. We will be taken up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. And that's why I read that, because it said encourage each other with these words. You have to be telling people that Jesus Christ is coming the second time. You have to be able to explain to them what the second coming of Jesus is all about. And you have to know that because you're working with the second, bringing into the second coming of Jesus, there are roads that are going to have to be paved that nobody's paved before. And, you know, as God was speaking this to me, I was thinking about when I was first saved and God called me into ministry. That was a 40-year period in my life. And God used me to do what he wanted to do, which was to go and tell the churches that they were messed up. And now a new 40-year period has begun. And this new 40-year period is getting the people prepared now for the second coming of Jesus. First of all, God was shaking. He was shaking and shaking and shaking. He shook everything that could be shook. And he was trying to get the people to get out of their sins and to understand where they were at in Christ. He's done that shaking. And now he's bringing the harvest in. This is a 40-year of bringing the harvest in and preparing for the second coming of his son. And verse 18 says, so encourage each other with these words. All right. The saints will stand with Jesus on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14:3. Then the Lord will go to war with those nations. It will be a real battle. At that time, he will stand on the Mount of Olives, the hill east of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives will split in half. Part of the mountains will move to the north and part to the south. A deep valley will open up from the east to the west. God, in the end, is going to go to war, and he's going to finish paving the way for the second coming of his son, Jesus, according to God. Now, you either believe that Jesus is, and he was, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again, or whatever your belief system is, it's all wrong, because it's in the Word. And we are to follow the Word of God. Jesus is coming back again. Nobody knows when, but God has everything in perfect order, perfect timing. In fact, tonight we're going to talk about perfect timing. And this is a time that the greater works needs to be started. Some of you just need to get out of your religious mindset. You need to understand that spirit is calling to spirit. You need to understand that you're going to all of a sudden feel God nudge you, and he's going to say things to you that you've never heard before, and you're going to say, get thee behind me, Satan, when it's really God, because you aren't going to understand exactly what God is saying to you. And what we need to start doing, because God showed me this morning, what we need to start doing is, he gives you a revelation. Don't just get excited. You got a revelation. Sit down and let him explain the revelation. Sit down and let him give you all the information necessary with this revelation. And I don't know if you're like me, but I was one, I'd get a revelation and run with it. I wouldn't sit down and get everything that was connected to it. Then then God would connect the dots. But I was supposed to have sat down and got all the dots at one time. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't do that. But then God said, now, and I'm not the only one, because God said I wasn't. Now, what we have to do is when he gives a revelation, sit down and listen to everything he has to say. And let you go forth with full knowledge of what that revelation's all about. It's not going to be like it was before. It's not going to be a word here and a word there. It's going to be complete revelation knowledge. And you intercessors, God's going to be doing a new thing with you intercessors. He's going to bring you into such a deep intercession that you might intercede for hours upon end, speaking in this, you know, praying in tongues and weeping before the Lord, so God can use you to accomplish something on this earth. So you need to get yourself prepared to maybe spend a few hours on your face crying out to God. Just ask him not to do it when you have to go to work. Amen. Come on. Then God went on to say, children, you have so much to gain by following my will at this given time. This will be the greatest gift I can give you for Christmas. This will be the greatest gift you can give the hopeless ones that are wandering around in great confusion all across this land. And God, you know, God's been telling me, he told me a while back, he said, this Christmas was going to be one of the greatest Christmas in the body of Christ. And as you, if you look at the things around about you in the world, you would say that can't be. But we are not looking at the things that's going on around about us in the world. What we're looking at is what Jesus Christ is saying to us. What God the Father has put together. And he wants us to enjoy this Christmas. And now, you know, again, they're trying to separate families from not seeing each other at Christmas time. You know, we can enjoy ourselves. I don't care what the world says. They can't take my mind. You know, they can't silence my voice. We need to determine our heart. We are going to enjoy Christmas. Months and months ago, God said, this Christmas will be different, totally different than any Christmas you've ever been in. And so I told my family, well, we're not going to do Christmas, and we aren't because of different things. We aren't going to do Christmas like we used to. But then I said to them a month ago, but we will do Christmas, because they weren't going to do Christmas at all. We will do Christmas. The world is not going to steal my joy. Are you listening? Don't allow the world to put you in a box and make you steal your joy from you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is what the world is trying to do, is trying to steal our strength. Now, do you have a voice or do you not? I mean, I know you have a voice because I know you yell and scream at your kids and your husband, and your wife. I know you have a voice. So why don't we use it against the devil and say, you're not stealing my joy. You're not taking my Christmas away from me. God said this Christmas was a gift to us. I really don't care when Jesus' birthday is. I don't go into that mess. I've celebrated Christmas all my life this time of year. And unless God tells me to quit, I'm not going to quit. You understand this? People can come and bring so many different things at you trying to steal your joy. Don't allow them to do that. Don't allow anybody to steal your joy. Some of you in here, you've already allowed people to steal your joy. Don't allow them to steal any longer. Everything you're holding on to, you need to let go of. There's somebody holding on to something in here that you need to let go of it. It's not going to take the person out. It's going to take you out. Now, really, is it worth it? I think about that all the time when somebody does me wrong. Do I want to let them take me out, or am I just going to let it go and move on and be happy about it? See, you make decisions every day, do you not? We have a mind and we make choices. I tell my kids that every day, nobody else can make you do anything. God gave you a mind And he didn't say, I put Barbara's mind in here with yours. She's going to tell you what to do. That's not, he didn't do it that way. Barbara has her own mind. She has the mind of Christ. And she does what Christ tells her to do. I don't care what you can go do whatever you want to do, but I don't have to do it with you. And you can't pull me into it. You see what I'm saying? And seeing a lot of people say, well, you know, they made me do it. No, they didn't. What happens here is that you really wanted to do that. And so they brought, when they brought the suggestion up, you went right and did it. And then you say, well, they made me do it. No. No, they didn't. My daddy, my real daddy taught me that when I was a little girl. I remember that all my life. And as I look back, I can see where I could have done what other people did and got myself in a lot of trouble. But I did what he said. You have your own mind, your own choices. Use it. So you have a choice this morning. You have your own mind. God is calling each one of you in your sweats. While you're here, you didn't come here by chance, even though you'll leave here and say you did. The Holy Spirit drew you because he's calling you to do the greater works. He knows where you live. He knows who you can touch. And he wants to use you to do the miraculous through you. I don't care if the first person you pray for dies. Keep on praying. I always remember the hunters. They held a big miracle crusade and people died and nobody got healed. But they didn't stop. They kept on going. Then they had one of the greatest miracle ministries ever was. So what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow man? Do you want to do the greater works? Do you want to step into I'm hearing God say, do you want to step into this new arena that he is opening up for you this morning? He really wants you to think about this. He's saying, are you willing? First of all, then will you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? He wants you to think about this. And he wants you to let go of all your ought against other people. And he just wants you to walk in the fullness of God and do what God is calling you for to do. If I didn't have my own mind, I wouldn't be standing here today because of people who have spoken many things into my life that I should or should not do. But I know what God's called me to do, and I've stood my ground. Now, are you going to stand your ground this morning? It's like this young lady, she said she wants to do greater work, so she came up. Get her closer to the altar. The altar's open.